Welcome to the Radio Today programme. My name is Stuart Clarkson.
And my name is Roy Martin. This is edition une, deux, trois.
Wow, we are really on steam now. Back again in your feed.
Well, we did say we'd do it when we could be bothered. So tonight we are at the Roundhouse in Camden. We're at the ARIAS 2026. Stuart has got a very busy night ahead, doing lots of interviews, which you're about to hear on this podcast. And I've done all the photos and videos tonight as well, so you can see all them on Instagram. What else are we doing tonight?
Hopefully, when we get finished, we'll get a drink or something, or maybe a late-night pizza for old time's sake, like we used to do after the Sonys.
Oh, the Sonys. It's not going to be the Sonys, but I'm looking forward to this. It's a nice venue. I remember the Commercial Radio Awards was here many years ago. Great venue, lots of good people on the guest list, lots of great nominations. Let's see what happens.
Well, let's hear from some of our arrivals on the red carpet first. Here we are at the ARIAS, and Vernon Kay is nominated for your Oasis show that you did. That was a bit of fun, wasn't it?
It was a lot of fun, actually. And it's my first ARIAS, and it's our first nomination as the mid-morning team on Radio 2. And we're really, really excited. That event was quite special because it brought a lot of people together. And I think Oasis was the DNA of the show. But it was all about the human interaction and what Oasis meant to so many people. And we had some great guests. We had people who were there from the birth of Oasis. And we had people whose lives have been soundtracked by Oasis. We spoke to a lovely lady called Joanne, who was a victim of the Manchester bombing. And she couldn't go into Manchester city centre since the bombing. And Oasis brought her out of her hometown back into the city centre, which was really special. And it just means a lot when you realise that a band has that much of an effect on people. And that's what we wanted to come across, and I think we did it.
And finally, Radio 2 nominated as well for Station of the Year.
Yeah, right.
Station's in a good place, mainly.
Yeah, exactly.
We've got a hiccup here and there, but...
Yeah, no, it's in a great place. You know, over 2 million listeners a week. 12 million listeners, 2 million. What am I talking about?
That's what
about?
You've got, isn't it?
That's what I've
used
to.
You've got 6 million.
The other network I used to work at. 12.6 million, I think it is, a week now. So.
And you've got the biggest radio show on the station, audience.
Well, yeah. And I think, like, the thing with Radio 2 is what I've realised. It's a great place to work. Helen Thomas is a great motivator, a great leader. She lets you get on with it, and I think that's what's really important. I've got a great production team who can wind my neck in every now and again. But overall, me personally, I go through the numbers every like, I think it, I do it more than that.
Because I think, look at the live listening during the show, do you? That's
dangerous. I don't go into that. But I think it's important to realise tastes and flavours, opinions and voices, you know, of reflect the nation, you know, whether we're up, whether we're down, whether there's kind of a placebo effect here, there or everywhere. You check out other networks. But I'm not like, I just like people. I think that's what radio's all about. Radio
Absolutely.
Has an intimate connection with people of Great Britain. And it's so important that we have that. You know, we speak to so many people who are on the allotment, who are on the tools, who are truck driving, van drivers, delivery drivers, gardeners, people in workshops, people chippy, sparkies, roofers. We have a broad spectrum of listener at Radio 2, and it's important that you can somehow have a conversation that is so generic but yet so intimate. And I think that's the key to radio. That's the beauty of radio.
Absolutely. Have a good night and good luck for your award nominations.
Yeah, cheers, pal.
Here are some more award nominees. It's Graham and Leanne from BBC Radio Lancashire, nominated for Best Speech Breakfast. How do you rate your chances?
Zero.
It's that good a show, is it?
It's a gamble. Zero. We are very different from all the others, and all the others are fantastic. They're all brilliant. We've gone for full-on fun, so it's very subjective, and we've got up against some fantastic breakfast shows, so just to be here.
And you keep getting nominated. You've been nominated lots of times.
I know, 4 years in a row.
This is our fourth year on the bounce now, so just to be here is amazing.
And repping the North and repping Lancashire.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. And we are very lucky, let's
see what happens.
Let's see what happens, Leanne. Yeah.
Well, the welcome drinks are on, so get yourself a drink and enjoy your night. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
See you. Oh, look, it's Gabby Roslin.
Hello.
And you're presenting one of the awards tonight.
I'm giving an award, which is very exciting.
And are you nominated tonight? I don't think you are,
Ian. No.
So no pressure. That's a good thing.
No, just fun. And celebrating radio. And it's so incredible how important it still is to people. That person that listens, and you change their day, you change their evening, you change their moment. It's so special.
And you're at Magic these days.
Magic,
enjoying that?
And BBC.
And BBC London still,
so,
as well?
No, that's now. It's a network show.
Ah, of course. Yeah,
it's the Make a Difference show on Sundays and Magic Radio on Saturdays. So I get the
fine
best
balance of
both.
Everything.
I'm very, very lucky.
And how do you find these awards, Dues?
I love them, but I just want everybody to win. Can we give everybody an award?
Yes.
Okay.
No, we can't. Sorry. Welcome to Ellie Brennan from Radio 2.
I'm so excited.
A few nominations for Radio 2 tonight as well. Station of the Year.
Yes, massive. And I'm so excited. Everyone works so hard. And I haven't been to the ARIAs for a while now, so I'm really excited to be here. See everyone. Celebrate amazing radio, because that's what we love, right?
And see all the commercial radio friends who are here as well.
Of course, it's a big reunion for me. I love seeing the old commercial team, so I've been texting everyone. Like, I can't wait to see you. Yeah.
And what do you reckon the chances are? Because Vernon's nominated as well for his Oasis homecoming show.
Yeah, and I got to be part of that show and it was amazing. People work so hard. But we know, the ARIAs, everyone's entries are amazing. Everyone works incredibly hard. So you never know, but I'm very proud of that show. I'm very proud to have been a part of it. So we're winners, whatever, Stuart, we're winners.
And the show's starting soon, the bar's open, so get yourself a drink and have
later.
A good night.
Yeah,
see
bye.
You later. Here's Matt Chorley from 5 Live, taking some time out of your busy time on air at the moment. It's been a bit hectic the last few weeks.
Yeah, it's been quite a lot of politics happening, but it's good. And yeah, it's what we do it for. You know, the big, it's my World Cup, basically. You just don't know when it's going to happen.
And tonight you're nominated for Speech Entertainment. This is a really tough category.
Well remembered, yeah. I'd like to think that as the only, I think, live radio offering in this, it's very easy to be, you know, speech entertainment when you can edit out the non-entertaining bits. it's quite a competitive category. There are quite a lot of famous people, Louis Theroux and Rylan and Zoe Ball and Joe Wiley and Prison Radio. And yeah, exactly. You know, I'm here for the do, to be honest, Stuart.
And have you got your speech ready for if you win?
No. I've been, this is the fourth time I've been nominated for an ARIA in various categories. And it would now be quite annoying if I won, because currently my thing is I go to award ceremonies and don't win. I've been, you know, since I've been doing this radio thing for very long, coming up for 6 years, mm-hmm. having been in newspapers. Yeah. And I've never won anything. And so it'd be quite annoying now if I won something, because that's my, you know.
Well,
I'm an underdog.
If you win, you'll be on the Radio Today programme podcast again later on, because we'll be talking to the winners.
Oh, that's exciting.
And if you don't win, we'll have to get you on another time.
Well, I love the Radio Today podcast, as you know.
But yeah, come on.
Yeah.
Come on, will we? We'll get you on.
Of course
definitely.
We'll, yeah.
But good luck for tonight.
Thank you.
Here's Ken Bruce at the ARIAs. You're presenting an award tonight.
I am.
And
indeed.
I think Greatest Hits might be nominated. Is it up for Station of the Year?
Well, we're ever hopeful. Yeah, we are nominated, but you never know. Things can go either way. But we are sort of teed up and ready with excitement.
And how's your time in commercial radio? I don't think we've spoken to you since you made that big move a few years ago. Are you enjoying it? It's different?
It's different, and I'm hugely enjoying it. And, you know, I think it's great to try something new. Or slightly different.
You've got to push yourself.
So often. Well, yeah, you should never stop pushing forward. You can push forward a bit slower than you used to, which is what I'm doing. But yeah, I'm loving it and having a really good time. So,
and it's enabled Popmaster to get even bigger and bigger, hasn't it? Which
Popmaster is doing rather nicely. We're just about to start recording our next two television series.
Excellent.
So it seems to have taken on a bit of a life of its own, I'm pleased to say.
Well, good luck for the nominations tonight.
Thank you very much.
Have a great evening.
You too.
Thank you very much. Here's Richard Allinson from Magic.
Evening.
How are you? And Greatest Hits. Magic, Greatest Hits. Where
Magic's
are you these
in
days?
The past.
Do you not still do stuff for them as well? Is that,
no.
You're all one happy family in that building, aren't you?
We are. The weird thing is, it's a bit like when people say, all you broadcasters, you all hang out together. Ships in the night.
Yeah.
And the weird thing is, it depends. One day you go in and some commercial people are in, then the publishers are in, then the other people. It's nuts.
And Greatest Hits, the growth it's had over the last few years has been immense. Nominated as well for UK Station of the Year tonight.
Yeah. Awesome. We think that the lovely thing about working there is, from my point of view, I don't have to sell it because the name tells you what it is. Lots of other radio stations, they all have a little strap line underneath the name.
Yeah.
We don't need that. So that means I've got to think of other things to say. Which is always interesting. But no, I mean, I cannot believe I'm still doing this for a living.
We probably saw you at the Sonys back at the Grosvenor many, many years ago in Radio 2 Days and things, and this event just kind of keeps growing and evolving.
It grows, it evolves, and I remember 20-odd years ago, people were saying, well, radio's dead. It's all computers now, and it's all YouTube, and it's all Spotify, and hello, we're still here.
Still here, absolutely.
Advertisers still want us. We still connect. And I know advertisers still want us because one of my sons works in advertising and he says, even against digital media, radio's great value for money.
Absolutely.
So, and it's live.
Here's the chair of the Radio Academy, but also...
No, the what?
Oh, God.
Can we redo that?
Done it again. Here's the chair of the Audio Academy.
Well done.
There, we'll get used to it at some point. I'm sure you've done it. And also from Jazz FM, who are up for UK Station of the Year.
Yeah.
It's Nick Pitts, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, Jazz FM, UK Station of the Year, a factual documentary about Quincy Jones, Q Year's Day, our big thing, and Magic Classical, which I do as well. The King's Trust Carol Concert as event. I mean, it's fantastic. Fantastic skin in the game on both sides, really, really exciting.
And across the whole of Bower as well, loads of nominations.
Oh, I mean, you know, a record-breaking amount of nominations. Yeah, it was one of those moments where we're standing there watching, going, my God, this is quite something. Really, really proud.
And even though you're chair of the Audio Academy, you're not involved in the judging and so
I am involved in the judging.
Yeah, but in terms of
judge,
knowing...
I have, and this is the funny thing, is I know nothing about the outcome of tonight.
Yeah.
And you know, people at Bower keep going, oh, you must know. And I'm like, no, I don't know. Two reasons. I'm part of it. I want to be as excited as any other winner or nominee if they get called. But also, I don't want to know and have to lie to you and say I don't. So, but it's been quite funny. I was walking around earlier on and they were doing some rehearsals. I had to run out of the room. I walked past all the awards with my hands like that. Yeah, yeah. So I didn't see what was on them. So, yeah, I really want to keep this a secret to myself.
Well, I've seen the full list, but I'm not going to tell you.
No, please
so
don't.
Have a good night.
Thank you. Nice to see you. Take care. See you.
Here we are with Harriet Scott and Gokwan from Magic Breakfast, and this man has a nomination.
I know.
We both have a nomination.
Well, for newcomer, though, for
yeah,
you personally.
That's... I know, which is scary, but also the Breakfast Show is up for one as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you believe it?
And you were a newcomer once. What was it like? Can you remember?
Early 90s. I was too scared to even open the microphone. I remember that feeling of the record finishing, and I know what it was. It was ABC, All of My Heart. And still, when I hear that song,
yeah,
when I hear the last 30 seconds,
makes
it's like,
you want to go for a poo.
I am back there thinking, oh God, oh God,
Tina
oh God.
Tina Turner, The Best was the first song I played on the radio, and every time I hear it, it's the
and
same.
And you don't forget.
Yeah.
And it's ending, and you're like, ha, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And it's terrifying. It's terrifying. So I remember what it's like to be a newcomer. Gok is a natural. He's an absolute...
I still don't know what I'm doing. It's ridiculous that I've got nominated.
How helpful has this lady been to you?
She's taught me everything. And she continues to teach me. And we have a great time. We have loads of fun. And, you know, I think we do a good show every day. I don't think we've ever done a bad show, which is amazing, because I think we've enjoyed it. I mean, some of them, the content is questionable, to be very honest. But we have fun while we're doing it.
We do,
so that's all you can ask for.
As long as that bit doesn't get snooped, it's fine.
Yeah, but, yes.
And how's it been in the new building with all those people together? And
I do love the new building now. I mean, Gok didn't know the old building.
Yeah.
And it was in Soho, you'd have loved it.
Yeah.
But
makes you sound like a prostitute, doesn't she?
I know. Sorry.
She's been through quite
but
a few
you know
co-hosts.
What? She's got a point.
No. We would have had fun in Soho.
Yeah.
Before and after the show, yeah. Anyway, sorry, the question is, sure, the new building is beautiful and shiny, and I feel like the new building is, if you put a radio show in a movie, our new
That's
building looks
look like
that.
Yeah, it looks like an American agency.
But I do miss the soul of Golden Square. But we're fine where we are, but I loved Golden Square because I was there when it was Virgin Radio
well. Yeah. And final question.
They'll have to bury me underneath.
When you start, you said you're just going to do this for a little bit. Now you've got the radio bug. You're staying for years.
I know, it's fucked, isn't it? Let's be
he
very
loves
honest.
It. Now, stop showing off and swearing.
I swear all the time, and she tells me.
I have to have my finger on the.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah. I did think that I would go in, do a couple of shows for Ronan, see if I liked it. I had no idea at all that I would have signed a big old long contract and that I would be prepared to wake up so early every morning
for the rest of his life
for the next 4 weeks.
Hits Radio's Mike Toolan is here, and Station of the Year nomination for Hits.
I know, and you're right, I deserve it. Hi Stuart,
it's all
how
about you?
It's all about me. I mean, there's other people, but let's be honest. No, we're absolutely over the moon to be nominated. You know, no one ever takes these things for granted. So we've won a few, we've lost a few over the years. You know how it is. So,
You've seen all the change in commercial radio. And last year was another big year of change for Hits as well, losing all those local breakfast shows.
Yeah, I know. Which is always a sad thing for the individuals, isn't it? But you can't stop the march of progress. And I'm still friends with all the individual breakfast show guys. And they're just wonderful broadcasters, and a lot of them have come out and, you know, now done amazing things. You know, Big John's doing so well with a podcast, and you know, Alex is doing really well, and
you know, it's there are success stories after straightforward radio, you know.
Well, have a great night tonight and refresh your podcast feed, because you'll be on the next Radio Today programme.
I listen to it every single week when you did it, and then you got a bit lazy.
It's Stephanie Hurst.
It's Stuart Clarkson.
And you're DJing tonight.
I am, doing the after party, which I'm really looking forward to.
And the Arias are always lots of fun. It's quite showbiz tonight.
I don't think I've missed one ever, I think. I think I've been to every... Can we mention the Sonys?
Yeah, we can mention the Sonys. Yeah,
I think the first Sonys I came to was 2002. And then I've been to every awards ever since.
Wow.
So I've seen a lot
right
of stuff.
Right from the Gambo days.
Right from the Gambo days.
And now you are Gambo, doing his old show.
I am on Greatest Hits Radio, which has been a real honour to do on a Saturday afternoon.
And some nominations for Greatest Hits tonight as well.
Yeah,
Station
yes.
of the Year one.
Yes,
one
and also Hits. So yeah. I'm on Hits and Greatest Hits.
So you got two nominations.
So two nominations, yes.
Increases the chances of getting up on the stage, doesn't it?
I suppose it does, but an honour to just be here and celebrate with amazing colleagues, because it's our radio night, the audio night of the year, isn't it?
My name's Kelly Weil. I run a small independent company called Pomona, and we've just won the gold for best music.
And this is for 21st Century Folk.
Correct.
So a great initiative that runs on Radio 2, and you've done it again this year, and some really powerful stories.
Incredible stories. I mean, we had last year was the 200th anniversary of the railway, so we focused all our stories around, and what a gift it was, rich stories about people's lives intertwined with railway. We had a young woman who was on a track intended to take her own life, and then she ended up marrying the train driver who came along. We had a guy called Tom who was a foundling who was left at a railway station when he was 2 weeks old. So the stories just fell in our lap. They were wonderful, and the musicians who are able to turn those into songs, I don't know how they do it. Magicians.
A folk lends itself to those powerful, raw emotions as well, doesn't it?
It certainly does. I think folk music can do that in a way probably that a lot of other music can't. It's just the music of the people, isn't it? It sounds a cliche, but it's so true.
And what would it mean to the team to win this aria?
Every single person or programme that's nominated tonight, we all know the hard work, the dedication. It's all a labour of love for all of us, isn't it? So it just means it's very humbling to think that the judges were moved to tears, apparently, by the citation. You can't ask for more than that, can you?
Well done, Kelly. Well done to you and your team.
Thank you very much.
Hi, I'm Anish Graham, the host of Fame Under Fire, and we just won gold for Best Speech Entertainment.
And what a category that was. So many huge podcasts and radio shows in it. How does it feel to win it?
It feels amazing. We're a very small team. We work all the hours that God sends, and we don't have a huge name attached to it. So it feels really, really good to be recognised and get the bloody gold, which we weren't expecting.
And you've covered some really big, important issues on your podcast as well. So everything from, you know, Blake versus Justin, which has been a big thing for you guys, and the Beckhams and the Epstein files.
Yeah.
Why do you do what you do, and why is it important that you get these stories out there?
I get asked a lot about Fame Under Fire, and I always say that we're holding non-traditional power figures to account. I mean, we live in a world where the current president of the United States of America is a former reality TV star. These people mix, they mesh. It's important to know what's going on with the people who lead industry, who employ people, who are in powerful positions. It doesn't always have to be politicians, it can be celebrities as well. And we do what we do, and we do it very well, and we'd like to continue. We've got a real big year ahead of us. We're looking forward to that, looking ahead to that Russell Brand trial in October. We have the David case. We have multiple Kanye trials. It's going to be a busy year for the Fame Under Fire team, but this going to keep us going, I'll tell you that for free.
And what does it mean to the team to get recognition from the industry?
Oh, I mean, I know everybody works so hard, but so many late nights, so many 7 days a week, so many just like all of us together just powering through to get it done, because we know we've got a dedicated audience of listeners and we want it to work for them. It's just so nice to be recognised, and like you say, in an absolutely stacked category as well. We're going to be walking on sunshine until the lawyers bring us down again, I'll tell you that.
And the night is young, so have a great time.
Thank you very much. I'm headed
well
to the
done.
Bar, honey. Thank you.
So Ramesh has just won and he's not here.
I know, typical, isn't it? Typical, absolutely typical.
The next best thing, because you're the best part of his show, aren't you, on a Saturday morning? Is that
what
not right?
What was your name again?
Stuart.
Stuart, I love you. Thank you very much. No, I'm not the best part. This is the backstage people are the best part. They keep us all going.
That's the right answer.
Yeah, and no, it is. Seriously, yeah. I just sit there and mess it up, really. But yes.
And you do have a lot of laughs and fun, don't you?
We do. Well, it's Ramesh, really. It's kind of a love-hate thing, to be honest with you. I mean, I love him and he hates me. He really does. No, we have a great laugh, and it's brilliant. Producer Katie's wonderful. We've got Anna and we've got Johanna all in the background giving us stuff to do, and it's great. really great.
And it's really taken off on social media, some of the kind of silly things that you've been doing, and Romesh's brilliant jingle, of course, that we love.
Yes, have you noticed I don't have a jingle? Did you notice that? He gets the jingle, I get nothing, you know. Yeah.
We'll talk to Helen, we'll see if we can sort that out.
Would you mind?
Yeah, I'll have
a word.
Fantastic. But pass our congratulations on to Romesh, and well done to the whole team as well. Fantastic.
Yeah, well done, everybody. Well done. Nice to meet you. Okay. Thank you so much.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Jim Fulcher is here, and best news this year, hits and headlines.
Unbelievable. You know, when we're looking at that list of people who are nominated, list of, I don't know, big hitters in terms of news, we're thrilled to be amongst them, let alone come away with the gold. Can't believe it.
And in terms of what you do, what's your kind of mission as delivering news on a hit music station?
Well, you know, we've got to do it slightly differently to the, you know, the rolling news channels, haven't we? What we've got to do is we've got to imagine that, well, as we know from research, people don't really, well, we speak to people who don't usually consume news, or a vast proportion of people that we speak to don't usually consume news. So therefore, it's our job to explain what's going on and give them truth, you know, integrity, all of those kind of things that you would expect. But we've also got to make it fit in the context. So we've got to bring the stories to life. And we've got this massive team of journalists across the country who are tireless in that. So this award is for them as well.
And obviously the brand is delivered nationally, but the news content is still local and regional. So it's kind of making that work, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's, you know, a head scratcher from time to time, isn't it? You know, Ken's just stood here with us, Ken Breeze, and we've got to make sure that what we're doing at a local
level,
we've got to make sure that everything that we're doing at a local level fits alongside what he's doing when he's doing Popmaster or entertaining audiences up and down the country, haven't we, really? So, yeah, it's a head scratcher, but goodness me, we think we made it work. And it looks like we might have done a good job.
And the news is a bit of a gift sometimes, because every day you go, what has happened now? So telling those stories and bringing those things to radio audiences, as you say, who don't perhaps normally consume news, can be quite exciting for your journalists.
Yeah, I mean, the rate of news nowadays is a head spinner, isn't it, really? So, you know, we're pleased at the end of the day when we keep up with it. And on some occasions, we're able to get ahead of it and be brilliant, you know. And it's those kind of moments that make you feel like you've done a good job alongside it too. I keep saying the phrase force for good, because in these times where, like, not only misinformation, disinformation, all that kind of thing that we talk about on social media, but also it can feel quite gloomy out there, can't it? So we've got to hold on to this idea that news is important. It's important to help people understand what's going on in their world locally.
There's a lot of people in your team around the country who gets to keep the award. Is that going on your desk?
Well, it's really heavy. So I don't know. I was thinking we could split it up. How are we going to do this? I have no idea. We'll see.
My name is Joe Sims.
I'm Nikki Ledyard.
And we have won Best Beach Breakfast Programme for a Proper Bristol Breakfast on BBC Radio Bristol.
Which Joe presents and I'm the producer.
And
one of the producers.
So much competition in that category as well, up against Five Live and Radio Ulster, some great BBC local radio breakfast shows, and you beat them.
It feels like imposter syndrome, if I'm honest, like standing up there with all those people, all those luminaries. But I think James Cagney said it the best. He said, look him in the eye and tell him the truth. And that's all I've ever wanted to do. I'm a proud Bristolian, and I'm surrounded by other proud Bristolians that will run through walls in order to be able to present a show that gets Bristol out of bed in the morning. You know, life can be hard sometimes, can't it? So getting people out of bed with a bit of a spring in the step, and also tell them everything that they need to know. Also, having nuance in conversation, being able to disagree agreeably, to be able to sit around a table and just trying to figure out some of the problems that belie us all in Bristol, in Bath, in Weston-super-Mare, but all over the country.
And proper local radio is being passionate about your area, which your presenter clearly is.
Oh, just massively. And do you know what? Since Joe's been with us for 3 years, we've noticed such a difference, and just like the hundreds of people who get in touch every day who just want to share their story. We used to have people saying, I don't want to come on the radio, no one wants to hear my accent. Now we've got Joe, they're just queuing up, so yeah, we love him.
For me, it's all about ordinary people doing extraordinary things, and I feel like, you know, sometimes you feel like the world's going to hell in a handcart, but actually, by providing a bigger spotlight for the people doing incredible things all over our city, all over our region, people are then thinking, actually, how can I join in? That's the power of local radio, and that's the power of community.
And you've come at this from being an actor, and I know you've done a lot of radio dramas and things like that, as well as TV, but how have you found the radio industry and coming to events like this as a radio presenter?
Oh, do you know what? It's a amazing. Like all I am at the end of the day is a person. You're a person. You're a person. We're like, you know, and all we're trying to do is make that kind of connection, and that vital connection is what local radio is all about. And the idea of just connecting people up and just like, you know, hopefully leaving the world a slightly nicer place than it was yesterday should be the goal of any sentient adult, and that's what we're trying to do at the station.
My name is Victoria Glover, and I produce a podcast called My Stalker Moved In Next Door.
And a really powerful story. We tell powerful stories all the time as journalists, but not often when it's a story that you're heavily involved in.
Yeah, I was basically front and centre of this one, and it was a unique position. I've never done that before, so it was vulnerable to put myself in that spotlight, I guess. I mean, obviously I'm used to doing interviews, but it's weird being on the other side of the interview. I mean, even this now, it feels like, but yeah, it was. I think it was an important story to tell because stalking happens all too often and it isn't taken as seriously as it should be. You know, we use the term, you know, oh, I Facebook stalked him, and it's almost a laughing stock actually, and it's sort of about reframing it as the serious crime that it is, and the serious impact that it has on victims. That's what I really wanted to highlight, because often, you know, when a perpetrator is sentenced, it's kind of becomes about protecting the perpetrator when it really should be about protecting the victim and making sure that the victim is safe and okay. And I kind of felt like what wasn't my experience at all.
Yeah, you think I've reported somebody, they've detained him, it's all fine, and then it turns out he's been put in a unit just down the road from you.
Literally 300 metres door to door. Like, I'm not joking, if he'd have been let out on local leave, he could have walked past my house. I don't know if he knew where I live, but he may have done. So yeah, I mean, that I felt at points during my experience of it, you can't make this up. Yeah. And I thought, I have to tell this story because this shouldn't happen to anybody else. And it had been a really difficult year for me. My son had been diagnosed with hydrocephalus, which is water on the brain. He'd had multiple brain surgeries that year. This was on top of that, consolidating all that stress and worry. And it was quite honestly the last thing that I needed. I didn't even tell my family about it until I made the podcast because I was concerned about how they would feel. It's been a journey, but I'm glad to hopefully have shone a spotlight on a serious issue and, fingers crossed, make a positive change for victims going forward.
And does it change the way you approach stories when you're talking to victims now, having been through it yourself?
Yeah, 100%. And I think, I mean, even the experience with my son has changed the way that I interact with people who are, you know, quote unquote case studies. You know, I don't see it like that anymore. I think I always say I'm a human first and a journalist. I'm a journalist, but I'm a human first. And it's about making sure that you connect with people on a human level, you respect their boundaries, and yeah, just be a decent person, you know.
And for the judges to think it's the best series that they've heard in that, how does that make you feel?
I honestly can't believe it. I feel like I'm in a parallel universe because this is just something that happened to me and I decided to tell it, and then here we are today, and it's a full circle moment, I suppose. But I'm so grateful to the judges, to Audio Academy, to everyone who listened, and I just hope that we've done some good by sharing this story and that victims feel less alone as a result.
So my name's Carolyn Atkinson. I'm a reporter for File on 4 Investigates.
Mm-hmm. I'm Ben Robinson, the producer on File on 4 Investigates.
And you won Best Factual Single Episode for Locked Up, which was quite a harrowing story.
Well, yes, it was the story of... It centred on one woman who had been wrongly locked up in a mental health hospital for 45 years, and she was in segregation for 25 of the 45. But a team of sort of experts came along and realised she shouldn't have ever been there, and they then took 6 years to get her out, and she's now happily living in the community, which is where she should have been probably 45 years ago. So that's the basic story, but it's also... there's lots of other people in a less extreme situation who are also living in hospital when they should be not.
And telling stories like this is what you do, getting these stories to audiences, but to get industry recognition for it as well is something special?
We're just really shocked. It was a real privilege to be able to meet Kasiba and the other people in similar situations to her, and to tell their stories on their behalf and let the world know really what was happening. So to have this recognition as well is it's unbelievable, really. We can't quite take it in, can we?
How was the feeling getting up on stage there?
Well, we were ready to cheer whoever had won, basically. I mean, it's an honour. Like Hugh said, it's an honour to have a network that would commit to a story like that, basically, because it takes a long time to get that story out. And it's not, you know, it's not a sort of thing you read every day. I mean, it was an extreme example, but to back a story like that and allow it to be told in quite a shortish time, because it's 39-40 or something.
30, yeah.
I mean, you've got to sort of get it all in there, which is where producer Ben comes in, because the reporter's job is to want everything and the producer's job is to say no. It was the first time it was the hardest thing I've ever made, actually, because you are dealing with somebody who literally couldn't communicate. So the challenge of that, you know, it did get recognised in the House of Commons the following week. It got picked up and there was a House of Lords debate about it, because it is a national scandal. This story is a national scandal. They've been saying that for 20 years, and I've been covering the story. Obviously, this was an extreme version, but I haven't been covering the story, give or take, for getting on for 20 years, and there's still people battling now. We're 15 years since Winterbourne View next week, the Panorama documentary, and that sort of tells you all you need to know, really.
Five Live's Ian Carter, golf correspondent, is here, and you've won Best Sports for Five Live this year for the Ryder Cup coverage. And what a magical Ryder Cup it was to cover last year.
It was incredible. I think we all thought that it was all going to be done and dusted pretty quickly on the Sunday. Europe had been so amazingly dominant, and that had been an incredible story to tell. But we were actually, I think, quite worried on the Sunday that it might be a bit boring and how we're going to fill the airtime. And then all of a sudden, America came charging back, and suddenly it became a cliffhanger. And then to tell that story in such a bear pit of an atmosphere was a great privilege, actually. And, you know, I think everybody that was sort of listening to us in Europe was thrilled. But one thing to remember is that our coverage also gets played on the radios that the spectators have. So always in the back of your mind, you know that you can't be too, and you shouldn't be biased anyway, but that's an added dimension to it all as well. So it was an amazing event to cover. And I'm just thrilled that it's been recognised tonight.
And Five Live does the big occasions really, really well and brings the drama to listeners, doesn't it? And some people might think, well, golf, that's not very exciting. It's not as exciting as football or tennis or something like that. But at these moments, it really can be as dramatic.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, people have said to me down the years, oh, golf on the radio, how can golf on the radio work? But the great thing about golf on the radio, when we're, you know, actually out on the golf course with people at different holes, with different groups, we can be in the right place at the right time, because radio is the most malleable medium of the lot. And that is the essence of our coverage. It's that, you know, just brilliant producers, brilliant technical people, brilliant engineers who have all found ways to make sure that when we say you need to be with me now, then we're there, and that sense of movement. And then you know again, from an audio perspective, you know, we have to be so quiet when we're describing the shot, and then when the outcome is known and it's a huge moment, the crowd roar, and then we get right up, and so you have the ebbs and flows naturally in terms of the commentary as well. And we're also aware that it's only golf, you know, it's only golf, so you've got to of course it's sensational and it's important and people are invested, but you have a bit of fun as well. And, you know, with people like Mark Chapman, John Murray, Alistair Bruce Ball, Catherine Downs, you know, they've all got great senses of humour. So it's a mixture of it all.
And when you're out on the course, you're not thinking about the awards, but it's great to win them on nights like tonight, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I'm just genuinely thrilled. You can hear it in my voice. But thrilled for
an entire team, you know, a lot of people put a lot into this.
I'm Petroc Trelawney, I'm a presenter on BBC Radio 3, and I am incredibly proud that Train Tracks, which I was just a small part of, has won in the best event category, broadcast on BBC Radio 3, a tandem production for BBC Radio 3. Tandem are a fantastic indie who do a lot of output for Radio 3 and Radio 3 Unwind, and they came up with this cracking idea, I guess more than a year ago now, that we should spend a day celebrating 200 years of the modern railway by broadcasting live from a train from Inverness to King's Cross, and here we are now.
And for a train geek and a radio presenter, this is the best gig, isn't it?
It was like all my Christmases had come at once. I mean, I obviously love the music that Radio 3 broadcasts. I love the fact that we're a truly national station, that we cover the whole country. So the idea of being able to broadcast live in Inverness, in Edinburgh, in Newcastle, and all these other places en route, that was brilliant. And I love trains. I love train travel. I love the whole idea of the railway. I love this steel network stretching out around the UK. So, yeah, it was a great treat for me. It's kind of work, but, you know, a lot of pleasure too.
And I'm just thinking signal for mobiles on a train is not good. So how do you broadcast live from trains?
Well, it was amazing, actually. Our guys did a couple of trips to check it out, because we actually thought originally we might use train internet, but that's a bit flaky. And of course, you've got tunnels and things, you've got deep cuttings, you've got areas. So we had this amazing kit which we had multiple SIM cards. So if there was any network anywhere near, we would pick it up and flip between it. And we worked out our timings very carefully. And amazingly, it worked. There was a brilliant moment where we came into Pitlochry, and Tom Service was on the platform broadcasting. I was on the train, and we didn't know if the tech was going to work, because the other thing is trains are like Faraday cages, yep. So getting signals out is quite hard. And suddenly I could hear Tom laughing in my ear, so I just tentatively laughed back, and he could hear me, and we knew that the tech had worked. But we weren't 100% sure until we were doing it for real on air.
And the music was a big part of it. You had some specially composed pieces as well.
Yeah. What amazed me, we had some specially composed pieces, but it is amazing how many pieces in the classical canon are influenced in some way by trains, whether it's the ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch of the train, whether it's the idea of the train speeding up, whether it's the great noise and weight of a massive steam locomotive or a diesel engine, or whether it's composers who wrote on trains. It's amazing how many, and composers who Rachmaninoff used to do his concert tours around America with a private carriage with a Steinway grand piano in it so he could practice as he travelled. You know, the kind of the Venn diagram between railways, railway enthusiasts, classical music and classical music lovers has a lot of crossover.
Well done on your award. How does it feel to win it?
I'm thrilled. I mean, listen, I was but a small part of this. There are, I think, 7 or 8 presenters involved, same number of producers, researchers, our brilliant technical team at the BBC. There is no one better. You know, you say to these people, we want to do an OB from here, and they say, fine. And wherever you want to do it from, they make it work. You know, they are geniuses. And however difficult it is, they will fix the problem. So it was a true, you know, something really only the BBC could do. And it was a brilliant collaboration between Tandem, Radio 3 Production and the BBC's technical teams.
Enjoy your night. Well done.
Thank you so much.
I'm Gavin Pearson with Clyde One Super Scoreboard for Best Sonic Branding.
This is the big award. It's all about the jingles and the imaging.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I do by trade. I'm a presenter at the station, but my full-time job is working in imaging and radio, and so I look after impact imaging for Clyde and Forth because of the dominance in the central belt of those two brands. And you know, you read so often people saying local radio is dead. It's very much alive in the central belt of Scotland, and it's done better than it's ever been done. Yeah, I've worked in the industry since 1991, and if you were to take a snapshot of what Clyde One or Forth One was doing in 96 and compare it to 2026, you would find more local boxes ticked now in all of these sites, north, you know, and all across Scotland, because we've got a professional team that work hard on what really matters. And to support them with imaging, you know, imaging doesn't necessarily win you get your radar a success, but what it does do is it brilliantly boosts the team. You know, the guys, the talent behind the mic, love when there's good imaging to support them, and it lifts their mood and their approach to it. And the Super Scoreboard guys talk about, you know, I love it when, you know, when Scotland qualify for the World Cup, and the next day the Breakfast guys have got an opener at the top of the hour that makes them almost cry. When Scotland play Ukraine and we're kind of balancing the feeling of you know, Scotland still want to win, but we want to show our support for Ukraine, and playing something again that brings a little bit of emotion to it all. and getting the messages from the guys saying, this has given us a kickstart to do a great show. That's where you know you've done your job. And that's where you contribute to Rajar, as far as I'm concerned.
And the sport creates its own drama, and you know, it's so epic that actually when you add the imaging on top of that, it's like, wow, as you say, it puts shivers on your spine and makes you cry.
Well, Super Scoreboard is, it's world class, and it relates to the audience. It's where they come to after a game now. They've always done it, and we've been told that our days are limited. Podcasts, there are hundreds of podcasts in Glasgow. Glasgow's the football capital of the world in terms of club football. Rangers and Celtic have created this atmosphere. But Clyde's always been the trusted place to discuss it. And when you hear the programme at night, you're, as an imager, you just want to capture it and put it out the next day, but put it out with fun, put it out with the emotion that's happening, and just recapture it and sell it. And the programme, by the way, is so strong. I mean, it's 30% market share at times. It doesn't actually need the promotion, but that's not the point. The point is that you want to be spreading this strength and this excitement and this emotion all over the day, and just telling everybody, this is magical. And the way the guys that work on the programme are so passionate, and I love just supporting them on the sideline with the imaging.
And you do it because you want to make it as good as you can. And I know so many imaging producers who are really bothered about the fine details to make it right. You don't do it for the awards, but it's great when you win them, isn't it?
Oh yeah, I do it to know that the guys have felt loved. That's why I do it. I do it, of course. I'd never work in management because I'm too much of an ego-driven freak show. I love the praise, but I also like the feeling of giving the guys the energy. And that's what I think imaging is powerful for. Of course, it's great, and you've got to make sure it's clear. And by the way, the big challenge at the moment these days is clarity. Clarity and creativity. It's not about Pro Tools. It's not about sitting there and going, wow, aren't we good at this amongst yourselves? You've got to be making it have an impact. And this is what I'm telling everybody that's new in the industry. I mean, I've been working in imaging. I self-taught. I was reel-to-reel tapes and carts when I first started. When I tell people that come into imaging, you know, work in programs and learn about relating to the listener. Don't get obsessed and bogged down with Pro Tools plugins, right? Because you're dealing with a very challenging platform now for radio. It's not as good as it was. The quality is challenging when it's streaming. Mm-hmm. And things that you think sound great in your speakers on Genelex are sounding absolutely like this when they're going out on a smart speaker.
Yeah.
So you're looking at clarity and you're looking at creativity. And those are the two key things. And if you manage to combine that, you've got a winner. And
giving away all your secrets now, there's going to be somebody else winning this next year.
I just
think
it's so important, though. And there are one or two people that I know who are still bogged down with the Pro Tools love and the pro and impressing each other. And there's a bit of a closed-door atmosphere. And you need to look outside and say, how do we relate to the listener? How do we excite the listener? And do that. That's the key. That's what's most important for me. But by the way, I've learned that. I used to be the Pro Tools nutter. And I would be impressed at how an impact cut through and how the top end of this voiceover sounded. And I think, oh, that sounds really crisp and clear. And the listener doesn't give a, you know, this doesn't give a, you know what I mean? I've kind of, you know, realised that it's got to relate. It's got to connect.
Yeah.
And it's more and more challenging now with the way people are listening. The quality has definitely gone down, which is a shame. You would think it would go up, but it's gone down. And you have to accommodate that and think about that when you're producing something. And I could stand here and talk to you all night about this.
Yeah, but you need to get to the bar because you've just won an award.
I need to stop boring people. So
congratulations, nice Gavin. Really well done.
Thank you so much.
Here's Trevor Nelson. He's just got a special recognition award. Has this sunk in yet? God.
No, it hasn't at all. I was still thinking about eating my nuts that I had in front of me and drinking the beer that I had in front of me. No, I had no... This is a total... In fact, yeah, it's a total shock.
And 30 years at the BBC this year, so this really caps it off.
Yeah, do you know what? I've had the best time, best career. I wouldn't change a thing. And I don't need awards. I'm not grateful, but I don't need awards. For the 30th anniversary was enough for me. And it's, you know, just realising I didn't last 5 years. I lasted 30, do you know what I mean? And the 10 at Kiss, 10 at Kiss as well, so... I'm just a servant to this
game. You
don't
look old enough to have done 40 years in radio.
Yeah, well, be inside my body. Get up the way I get up in the morning. No, I get up easily because I love coming to work. I genuinely love coming to work. And the joy of doing radio is, it's not a real job. It's not a real job. It's just a joy.
And there's not many people who've had two Lifetime Achievement Awards from the Radio Academy, because I was there in 2010 at the Sony's. You won Sony Gold Lifetime Achievement.
I did.
16 years ago. So to get this twice...
I'm glad you're the only one who said that.
Yeah.
And that's the first time I'd ever gone to the Sony's. Can you believe that? And that day was such a big day for me. My mum got the all clear for cancer,
I remember. You knew that you were getting that, did you? You didn't?
No, okay, I didn't. So no, I'd never been there before. Right. Never been to Sony's. Never gone.
Yeah.
And I remember Andrew Roachford, he went to the same college as me. I remember him being on stage thinking, he went to college with me, that guy. Same college as me. And he started talking, and then I saw my face appear, and then a choir came out. And if I didn't have that choir come out, I would have burst into tears. I think Sir David Attenborough was here that day, and I think I was thinking, God, Sir David Attenborough's here. Wow. You know, I was like, it was just a great day. And that first award was acknowledgement of the music more than anything else, because I felt that, you know, I represent R&B, you know, especially at that time, and I just felt that no one's recognising us, you know what I mean? I just felt that this is the forgotten music force, and then all of a sudden I won that, and I thought, wow, they know we're here.
And you talked about that, obviously specialist shows, you've won awards for your specialist shows and your R&B, and on Radio 1 you were doing that, on One Extra, clearly you were doing that, and at Radio 2 when you first started it was specialist, but these days you're mainstream, you're in the afternoon, bringing your soul music to the nation.
And do you know what that is? I play some soul music, obviously, I still play Radio 2 music, but...
But Steve used to play a lot of soul in the afternoon
as well. Steve did, and do you know what that is? That is me. The only reason I agreed to do daytime radio too, and a lot of people say, what do you mean you agreed? I never wanted to be a daytime DJ, and the only reason I did it was because I love broadcasting so much, and I love being at Radio 2 so much that I thought, well, this is the last part of my career that I can be of service to black music on a mainstream level, you know, and play a couple of tunes and let people... And, I love doing the show. I genuinely now I'm just enjoying being a broadcaster rather than Trevor, the specialist DJ. You know what I mean? It's just, I'm just having fun. I'm having a lot of fun. I hope it comes across that way, because it's just the same as 30 years ago, mate. I walk in the building, take the mickey out of everyone, do my show, and don't take it too seriously.
And to get up on that stage here in front of the industry and get the reaction you got.
I don't know what reaction did. I don't remember, honestly, can I be honest with you? I don't remember any reaction.
You got stitched up by your team.
I just remember being up there going, swearing under my breath. Like, I don't know if everyone was standing. I'm serious. I could hear people talking still, so I didn't think they were paying any attention to me. But, I think that we're all in the same industry. I don't care whether you're on local radio or national radio, you know, being behind a mic, when you fade that mic and it goes red, we're all the same. We just got different size audience, different areas, local radio, national radio. It makes no difference. Once that goes up, we're all the same.
Well, really well done.
Appreciate
I'd say it's a small club with two Lifetime Achievement Awards. I think Tony Blackman's in there.
Wow.
Can't think of anybody
TB,
else.
TB, I'm coming for you.
You're in there now, TN.
I'm coming for you, TB.
Well done. Congratulations.
Thank you
Enjoy
so
your
much.
Night, Trevor.
You,
thank you, bud.
Hello, my name's Alfie Moore from BBC Radio 4's It's a Fair Cop. And I think, Julie will confirm, we've just won the Best Comedy Award at the ARIAs, which is the Academy Awards for the audio industry. Is that right, Julia?
That's right. You've got gold. I know that you need
wow.
people to keep verifying this.
I mean,
it was a very competitive category, wasn't it? Some sensational shows in there. So
Steve Coogan, French and Saunders. All sorts of people that I couldn't possibly beat.
But you did.
I know.
I've been saying to my wife, as a northerner, bloody waste of time going to this. I hope there's some good grub, which it wasn't. There was a bag of nuts on the table.
No.
But I'm glad I came now.
And you've been doing this a little while. I think 9 series, is it now? Or 10 series?
9 series. Julia has commissioned series 10.
Excellent.
Can
news.
We have that on record that she
yes,
has?
I yes, can
that's as good
that
as
is,
a contract.
That is, yes. That is
it's official now. So to get this recognition from the radio industry must be something special after all.
Oh, it's fabulous. Because, do you know what? I know that people liked it because I'm a touring comedian, so I do live shows, and I like to greet people on the way out, and they say, oh, when's the next series? I love It's a Fair Cop. I know people loved it. I know people love the show. They tell me all the time. But for the industry, for professional experts, experienced people within the industry to say that they like it as well, it's a big deal, so I appreciate it.
It's really special, and also Alfie is quite modest, but I know as well that his
not after
shows...
tonight, Julia. Not after tonight.
No, it's going to be a problem now. We've got to manage. Oops.
But other police forces sometimes use your shows
for
training material.
Yeah.
And Alfie has had contact from people who've responded to some of the crimes he's talked about in his show, and they've made decisions based on that. And he's materially helped people.
Yeah.
So to have people in stitches with laughter, but then also change people's lives is quite an amazing
comedy
thing.
Is so powerful. It resonates with people. And yes, we all like from an entertainment perspective, but it's so powerful to reach people. I don't think we're even touching what comedy can do to help. So that's very rewarding as well.
And what do you think radio comedy can do? So comedy on the radio, what can that do compared to stand-up or TV? How is it different?
It's a different discipline. It's a different medium, but it reaches a lot of people. And it's really important because not everybody wants to go to a live stage show. They want to be peeling the carrots in the kitchen with the radio on. And we need to connect to those people as well.
That's right. It's reaching many, many people, hundreds of thousands, millions of people. And comedy is such a fantastic way, particularly stand-up comedy, of talking about resilience, of relatability, empathy, joy, escapism. You know, God knows we need it at the moment. And so you can be part of it, as Alfie says, a community, listening together, laughing together, bringing people together.
Get that award back up north. Congratulations.
And there's something special about I hope live radio continues. There's something special about a collective number of people all listening at once. There's that energy there. I hope live radio carries on for many decades to come.
Hi, my name is Casey Sayer. I'm the writer of Four Gammons and the Unicorn, which has just won Best Drama or Fiction.
And how are you feeling right now?
I am so, so excited. It defies belief. It is incredible. I'm so grateful. Thank you so much.
Well, I've not picked it.
I'm thanking you anyway.
Well, yeah, thank you. What do you think made it so special? I mean, you had a great cast for a start.
Oh my God, the cast were absolutely incredible. Our main actress, Aileth Ross, was a debut actor for audio when she did the show. And it's very much about the main character. So she was incredible. You know, she was nominated for Best Actor at the Audio Awards. So she's had her ribbons, but she well deserves them. And our producer, David Tyler, he just saw it from start to finish. I'm very grateful to everyone involved. It would be nothing without them.
And again, why do you think it's such a special thing that's won an award? What stands out as a piece of work?
I suppose it's about sort of loosely a satire on establishments like GB News and Talk TV, which is quite current in its own way. My background is that I'm a topical comedy writer, so I spent so many years of my life watching these kind of channels and observing how they thrive and the skills that they have and the, you know, to my mind, quite clever and tactical things that they do. And I thought that was an interesting area for a drama, is not why they're evil, but why they are clever and good and how they thrive in that way.
And so great that we've got a channel like Radio 4 that's going to broadcast.
Yeah. Nowhere like apart this. From Radio 4 would have commissioned this. And yeah. I'm so grateful to Radio 4 and to Alison, who, you know, saw the idea and saw the sort of dramatic potential of that as an area.
The reason we commissioned it, or I commissioned it, was because Katie's extremely young for a Radio 4 drama writer. It was her debut drama and was based on her own experience, reinvented of course, but it was so truthful and so funny about a very modern phenomenon that young people in particular are experiencing. And I just thought, we've got to have this. So, you know, congratulations to Katie.
I'm Tim Peach from BBC Radio 5 Live, and we have won the Best Technical Innovation for a programme that Toby and I made called the 2005 Ashes Settling the Score, which was a collaboration with the cricket team and the BBC Philharmonic Orchestra, telling the story of probably the greatest test cricket series of all time and the 20th anniversary of it.
And the Tech Innovation Award, Toby, so what was so innovative about what you did?
Oh my God, I've been asking that myself since we were nominated. I think, honestly, it's the pairing of music and sport. I think, coming from myself, I have never watched cricket in my life, but I found just the beauty in this particular series. I went back and watched a load of the YouTube videos and footage from this, and it was just such a magnanimous, is that a word? Moment in British history, and I felt so excited to be involved in that. So I think in terms of what was innovative, I think it was maybe getting people that, I don't know what I'm saying, you know, when I don't know, is the honest. I feel like I'm starting my sentences and not know. What do you think, Tim? I don't know.
I think we were trying to... The story of that series has been told so many times, and there's nothing really new you could say about it. And we were looking for a different way to tell our audience about that story. And someone else, not me, Adam Mountford, came up with the idea of collaborating with the BBC Philharmonic Orchestra and telling the story through the great archive that we've got, and through music as well. And so we spent a long time working with the Philharmonic Orchestra to curate a playlist that was going to fit perfectly with the narrative of the series, and, you know, picking a piece of music that one will work well for Trent Bridge but not for Edgbaston. Finding a bit of music, I need something a bit more bombastic for Shane Warne. But also in the script writing as well, you know, there are different ways you could tell the story through the narration, through the music, and through the archive itself. And that script was deliberately written so that we could use it also beyond just the audio program that would work for. We use that script to have VT on BBC Breakfast for short form video. It was an audio first project, but not just an audio project. And the response from the audience was phenomenal.
I think that was one of the main takeaways from it, was the emotion coming from the audience. Like, similar to me, who'd never watched it, I sent it to family members, to friends that had also never watched it, and the texts that were coming through to me saying, "I am crying for something they never watched," I think is a testament to the product that was made, the music, the emotion of the piece.
And you make programmes like this because you want to make something for the audience, and you want to tell that story in a new and different way. You don't do it for the awards, but it's great when you win them, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I mean, we all say we don't do it for the awards, and we put it in pride of place on our shelves. Oh, is that in the background on my Zoom call? Oh, yeah, what, this? Yeah, it is lovely, and you're right, absolutely, we don't do it for the awards, but isn't it lovely that we get something, where, you know, as we say, between us, we put in hours and hours of work on this, and the reward was in the audience response, and this is the cherry on top.
Hi, my name is Hugh Sheehan. I'm an audio producer, and I made the BBC Sounds series Criminally Queer, The Bolt and Severn, and we have just won the Social Impact Award at the ARIAs.
And what was so special about your programme, in your view, that you think the judges have picked out as being deserving of award?
I think it's...
Obviously being very modest.
Yeah, Jesus, put me on the spot there. No, I think it's about stories that aren't told. I think the main thing for me, I'm from Birmingham, we don't hear a lot of Brummies on the radio or in podcasts, especially telling quote-unquote serious stories, which makes me cringe anyway. And especially as a queer person, these are two kind of parts of myself that I don't see represented in the media enough. And so when I came across this story, which was so harrowing and so shocking, and it hadn't been told, and it hadn't been given airtime, and seemed so underreported, and something that seemed to intersect so deeply with my own strife, I thought, this is a story that has to be told.
And to get the recognition from your industry peers, and knowing that people have listened to it, compared it with other things, how does that make you feel?
Mate, not absolutely not. It's, yeah, I don't know, I was not expecting that at all. Social impact, like, it was such a stacked category, and it's like, I don't know, like, the word humbling is overused at these things, but honestly it is, because so many of the other people that were nominated and that I know were shortlisted have made programs that have made such a real impact. So to be recognized for something that, I don't know, it's so close to my heart, means a great deal.
The John Myers Station of the Year, the local radio station of the year this year at the ARIAs, is BBC Radio Merseyside. Well done, guys.
Yeah, it's absolutely fantastic, and still sinking in a little bit, Stuart, to be honest with you. For me personally, obviously John Myers means a great deal to me, because he was one of my first ever bosses working in radio, so to have his name on that award is very, very special. And we're representing the team here. You know, there's a lot of people back at base that can't be here tonight, so this is absolutely for them.
And it was a big year last year in Liverpool. Obviously, the winning the championship, the, you know, Liverpool being champions, and then the parade, and then what happened at the parade, but also those day in, day out things you're doing in your community.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've never covered a story where triumph has so quickly turned to tragedy, or, you know, just utter dismay, really, looking at what happened at the parade. Was I still can't get my head around it. It was, you know, when we were right on the scene when it happened. So that was one of those stories you look back on and go, how did that happen? But absolutely, I mean, Kevin has done breakfast every day and covered so many of what you would call everyday stories. But, you know, that's what being at the heart of the community is all about.
And it's about getting those voices on air, isn't it, Kevin, every morning?
It's all about getting the voices on air. I mean, that's what we pride ourselves on, is making sure, you know, it's the listeners that drive the show. You know, we just guide them in the way that we want to guide them into, but the listeners are the most important thing. But I do have to say, you know, receiving this award for Station of the Year, local Station of the Year, I'm massively, massively proud. You know, I'm kind of the old guy, but the new boy into Radio Merseyside, because, you know, I haven't been there for very long, and I just learn from these guys all the time. I listen to them every day, and they are superb broadcasters, and I'll always, always, always continue to learn, you know, from them. And it's important that we continue to do that, because our audience changes every single day, so we've got to keep up with them. You know, and I think we do a sterling job at that at Radio Merseyside, right across the board, from breakfast to mid-morning to sports to late night to BBC introducing, and that's thankfully why we've picked up the local Station of the Year award.
And what do you think the reaction is going to be when you walk back in with this award?
Guard of honour. It's got to be a guard of honour, hasn't it? But listen, it's not for us, it's for everybody at the station. And for those on air, you don't often realise the amount of people behind the scenes that work so hard to get stuff on air. Even if their voice isn't heard on that particular day, it's not about the voices you hear, it's about the work that goes in behind it. But as Kev alluded to, it's about the people who listen and get involved. I mean, one particular example we had from our Goodbye to Goodison coverage, I've never been moved to tears right on the radio, except for once this year, when a listener got in touch with us to say an Everton fan's family, I mean, their relative sadly died, and they took the radio to his graveside to listen to our coverage of the last day of the men's first team action at Goodison Park. And it was an emotional day even before that. After we heard that, oh my goodness, it was incredible. But to know that we mean so much to people like that, to families like that that are near us, it's just incredible.
Can I just jump in there as well? Because I listened to Phil and I listened to that piece. And it's okay when the listeners are moved by that, but when your peers and when your professionals, when your broadcasters are also listening to that broadcast go out, and I was moved to tears, you know, that's when you know you're hitting the right notes, when your peers are ticking all of those boxes. It was phenomenal, that film.
Oh, it's also a thing of, like, where as well, as stories, it's triumph to tragedy as well. So, like, you know, Liverpool win the league, go back to Goodison as well. Parade, it was amazing. I was on the bus, on the media bus, when they were going around the city, and then we saw what happened afterwards. And also Diogo Jota's passing as well. There's so many different emotions what happened in this city. It's just a great patch to work on, and you wouldn't want anything more than that kind of thing as well, because, and you're living it with those people in the city as well.
Hi, I'm Johnny Canning-Surian from BBC Sounds, and we've won Audio Brand of the Year.
Wow, that's a big award for BBC Sounds. What does it mean for the whole team?
It means a huge amount. I mean, it's a lot of work. We've been working for, you know, over 6 years on trying to make it as best as it can be. It's hard work. Sort of joked on the podium, you know, we've come a long way from one-star reviews. I think, you know, I think the main thing is that it takes so many people to make it a good experience, from all the people who work in BBC Sounds, and then everybody who makes content for us, you know, all the guys who run the live radio stations, all the commissioners, all the indies. It's such a huge effort to make it a brilliant product. So it is a win for quite a lot of people.
And still a lot of growth there. I think 2.5 billion listens last year, which was up about 15%, something like that. It's not staying still, is it?
No. It's nice every quarter to be able to say it's another record quarter. I don't think we've had yet a quarter where it hasn't been a record growth quarter. And sort of to maintain that, you know, I think we're all really passionate about what we do. Everyone loves working there. It's great culture. We have a great boss, Jono. You know, Jono's run radio stations. He knows about that, you know, and he's just a good man. He's a good guy, and he's got a good team with a great culture. So we're just trying really hard, and it's really nice to be recognised for that.
And a bit of celebrating to do tonight now the awards are finished?
I mean, they all want to do shots. I've just come from the podcast show, so I'm like absolutely
knackered.
I'm actually knackered. I've been in the podcast show for 2 days, so I was like drinking water, but I think someone's telling me I've got to do shots now. So
I think why not?
Yeah,
it's not every day you win an award.
It's true, actually.
Well done. Congratulations.
Thank you so
Enjoy
much.
Your evening.
Thanks both.
I'm Paul Gerrard. I'm the content director for the Hits Radio Network, and we just won Station and Network of the Year, which is mind-blowing, so thank you.
And some big competition there, Radio 1 and Radio 2, just to name a few.
Unbelievable. What to be on that list of nominations, like Radio 1, 2, 3 and 4, and then our mates at Jazz FM, Greatest Hits, the guys at Fix. I mean, we were honoured to be on that list. So, yeah, I mean, I can't explain the feeling of actually coming away with gold again.
And it has been a big year of change, 2025, for Hits, not least change of breakfast show for lots of regions around the country. But the way that you've done that, the way you've pulled that together as a network, has obviously won you an award.
I think this award, like, recognises, hopefully, like, the journey of this brand and all those people who played a part in that journey as well. So many people have made an impact on Hits Radio over the years, and like where we stand today, you know, we've got huge ambitions, as you know, and you know, we're on that journey, but I couldn't be proud of the team, because like everyone in this building tonight, everyone just loves this industry and crafts for this industry, and to see so many people get recognised tonight is always a really special evening.
And three gold awards for Hits Radio, because you won a couple for news.
Our news team have done a phenomenal job tonight, and it just goes to show, like, especially in this world that we live in, you know, what scary world it is, and you know, with all that mistrusted information, to see what our news team have achieved tonight, they've really flown the flag for commercial radio tonight. I couldn't be prouder of them.
I mean, we're already nearly halfway through 2026, but where do you build on this award for the year ahead?
Oh, we've got plans. Yeah. We've got big ambitions for Hits, as you know. We want Hits to be the UK's biggest pop station. That's our North Star. And yeah, we've got some great plans, which I'm obviously not going to share with you tonight. But yeah, watch this space, because the team are plotting and planning as we speak.
And obviously you've got quite a few of the team here celebrating tonight. But what does it mean for you to be able to walk back in to the building in Euston with that award tomorrow morning?
Well, you know what, we're all radio people, aren't we? Look, when you meet the audience and you hear them say they love what you do, that is the ultimate gold, isn't it? But when you stand in front of your peers tonight and you're recognised by amazing people in this industry, oh, it's an honour. You know it's an honour. I'm absolutely chuffed to bits. And I think this goes for not only the team at Hits, but the whole team at Bauer at the moment, because it's a pretty impressive place and exciting place at the moment.
And with that, Hits Radio winning UK Station or Network of the Year, it is a wrap. How have you enjoyed your time at the Arias tonight, Roy?
I tell you what, you know that drink we mentioned earlier? I'm ready for it. I mean, I don't drink, but I'm ready for a bourbon. Matt Deegan got me a lovely Diet Coke, which I was very grateful for. I didn't know there was a bar here. I've been up on the balcony. But it was very good. Bauer did well. It's like they had no competition from maybe their biggest rival in the industry.
I know, right. BBC and Bauer pretty much winning most things. A couple of indies and things are the other winners. But on the whole, that was it. And I mean, we must address the elephant in the room, I guess. It is a bit of a shame that there's no Global here. There's no News UK here.
It really is. And I could say things that will probably get me into trouble, so I won't. But, you know, if anybody at Global is listening, just come back. It's a fantastic night. This is a great venue. The Arias are really stepping up. And next year, wouldn't it be great if Five Live was competing with LBC, if TalkSport was in there for all the speech stuff and the sports stuff, and if, you know, Hits Radio was competing against Capital and Kiss and everybody else. We would bring it all together in one place, and this is the place to do it. So come on, let's do it next year.
And I think what we've really heard tonight from most of our winners is that love of radio, that importance of radio as a medium of getting stories to people and having those shared connections and experiences. So it's been a bit of a love-in for radio tonight. I've not seen any of the show. How was the show? I've been backstage all night. So what was it like out the front?
Do you know what? I've been a bit critical over the years. The theatre-style format from the last few years didn't really do it for me. But tonight, you know what, it was really good. Really enjoyed it. Great show. And just amazing seeing so many people smiling and having a good time. And as we speak, pretty much the entire team from Hits Radio, including the legendary Mike Toulon, is sat on a chair having his photo taken with the rest of the group, having won Station of the Year. So, yeah, just amazing watching everybody buzzing around tonight.
Yeah, they've got the proper official portrait being done for the Radio Times. They've assembled them like a royal family photo from the 80s, haven't they?
No, that's what it is, is it? It just looks crazy. And the lighting is there, and there's like three people sat like the old deers on the front. But Yeah, we'll see that picture, I'm sure, in the Radio Times in a few weeks.
Radio Times? I've never heard of that. Is that a new publication?
I think they do something about radio, but, you know, they're just...
Oh, I think it's mainly telly, isn't it?
Yeah, they're just playing on the name.
Yeah. We're all friends. Anyway, thank you for listening to this podcast. I guess we'll be back in your feed again sometime soon. I don't know when. Just keep the feed there and we'll pop in again.
Yeah, I feel something... Matt Chorley said he might do something with us earlier on, and I've got a couple of bits because I went to a couple of radio events in the last few weeks, so we've got that to play, and let's do one in, you know, next couple of weeks.
See you then.
Bye bye.